right, good singing all the way around. We bless the Lord for how good God's been and the prosperity of it. And we appreciate what God's done for us and what He's going to do. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Acts, in Acts in chapter number 3. In the book of Acts in chapter 3. If you find a place you're able to stand, we'll look there for our text reading tonight. In the book of Acts in chapter 3. All right. I want us to back up one verse there in chapter 2, verse 47. The Bible said, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed to them, and he expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and he immediately in his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood, and he walked and entered with them into the temple, and walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder, we pray. And Lord, I pray you'd bless our hearts and encourage us in the faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. In the Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that here's a man that was lame from his mother's womb. And let me tell you and I are born a sinner without hope and without God. And let me say, the only way you and I can ever get born again, God's going to have to send somebody by our way. He happened to send a couple of preachers named Peter and John by this man's way. Every day, his family would take him down there, lay him at the gate of the temple, and called Beautiful. I bet it wasn't too beautiful to him. I bet it was depressing. I bet it was awful. I bet it was agonizing. I'll bet you is that it was a pitiful existence that he was living on a meager means by people feeling sorry and compassionate and trying to help him a little bit along the way. I want to say to you, this is a great record of a man here that was made whole. A lot of things that apply to you and I. Now, I want you to notice in verse 47 that we've read in chapter 2 is that here's some people that got to hear the word of the Lord, and with gladness and singleness of heart, they're praising God, having favor with God and all the people, and the Lord added to the church. Now, those are people that God's put in the house of God. And let me tell you that here's a man that we're about to look at that lays at the gate of the temple, which is the house of God, but he's not on the inside, he's on the outside. Now, here you and I are sitting here tonight. We can remember when God saved us and put us in the church. I can remember when I wasn't but a visitor. I can remember when I used to go to church and I wasn't in. I was on the outside and I was listening and needed something, but I didn't know exactly what I needed. Here's a guy that needed help and knows he needs help. And I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, is that you'll find that every day of his life, he's laying there and he's expecting somebody, someone to have compassion. He's expecting somebody to help him. You know why the average Baptist leaves as empty as they came? They didn't expect nothing. I got to tell you, you may come a long time and a long time and a long time until one day God shows up right there talking to you and conversing with you. It'll change your life forever. And let me tell you what he done was is that the Lord put him in church. Listen, whenever somebody and you're talking to him up and down the road of life, you know, just every now and again, hey, where are you going to church? Oh, well, I'm not going to church anywhere right now. Oh, you're not a Christian? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. I just don't go to church anymore. The Bible said that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I tell people every now and again up and down the road of life, literally, this is true, and every now and again I'll tell somebody, hey, I'd like you to come visit with us at church. Where are you going to church? I'll tell them, oh, I don't like that preacher. I said, I don't like him either, but he's the best we got for now. They'll look dumbfounded at you. You need not try to straighten anybody who's got their mind. I've had people that didn't like me whatsoever. I said, have we ever even met before? No, but I know somebody that's in your church that can't stand you. I said, if you'd show up, I'd show you several more. I want to say to you that if you're outside and not inside the church of the living God, then why is it God has not added you to the church? I'll tell you why. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's impossible to know the Lord and not be part of the house of God from the inside. Now, you may hear me every now and again saying something about the church. But I'm not on the outside shooting at the church. I'm on the inside, buddy. Trying to build a better church, have a life that'll exalt and magnify the Lord. Lifting my voice, lifting my head, lifting my heart. Praise in the name of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Now, somebody rightly said, and I don't know if I said it or somebody else, and I've just pinned it down, but whoever it was, it's good. Did you realize, though, that a Christian without a church is like a student without a school? Well, where are you going? Oh, I go to school. Where about you go? Well, I don't have one. Oh, you don't? Yeah. Sound like most of these kids here homeschooling. And all that. It's like a student without a school. It's like a soldier without an army. And I said, what are you doing for a living? Well, I'm a soldier. Oh, really? You're in the Army, the Navy, and the Marine Corps? What? Oh, no, I'm not in none of those branches at all. Oh, I see. In the lesson we're looking at, let me say to you, when a person tells you they're saved and they're not in the house of God, in the church of the living God, something's wrong with them. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that here's this man, and on this particular day that he's looking for somebody somewhere to be able to help him, and the Lord sends along a couple of preachers. And let me tell you, it's been like business as usual for him. People that are laying there helpless and laying there hopeless, and every now and again somebody comes by and gives them a little bit of something or another, but there's a whole lot of people just passing by, you know, and the reason being is because they get numb to it, and they get cold, they get callous, and of course they're seeing that same guy that's been laying there daily for a long time. Now, I said all that to be able to say this, that in verse number 1 of chapter number 3, when we read that, it was about the ninth hour. And that's 3 o'clock in the evening time, if you please. Now, don't lose your spot, but look in the book of Psalm chapter 55. There's a passage that we ought to look at, one aspect of it. In the book of Psalm chapter number 55, and I was thinking about whenever I looked over there and saw that, we don't measure things by hours and this and that. But there were 3 times that they prayed back in the Jewish realm. They had 3 p.m. That's where Peter and John, they're coming in, and people are going there to pray. There's also was like 9 a.m., and then there's also like at 12 noon. And so those are the 3 times. Now look in Psalm 55, verse 17. And the psalmist said, evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Now I want to ask you this. Did you notice there the last phrase? That when you and I are praying and consistent about it and with our heart in it, God hears and recognizes our voice. You know, that's not just I hope that you've not spent time, Lord, I'm praying, and yeah, I recognize your voice. I heard you cussing a few minutes ago. At least there's 2 people in there that knows that's right, whether they're cussing before they pray or not. But isn't that amazing how God points those little personal things out? I mean, I'm like that old boy one time over in Louisiana. He said, I've been so long, said I got down to pray, and my kids didn't even know I was trying to pray. It had been so long since they had seen anybody pray, and one of them jumped on me and began to kick me and said, giddy up, Arcy. I thought, that's sad, isn't it? Over there in Pascagoula, Mississippi, old Brother Leroy Wright, he's dead and gone, been gone for years. He was a humorous fellow. He said he's always been right, never been wrong. He's always right, born right, stayed right, and just that's old Leroy for you, see. But anyhow, he said that morning, buddy, there was a tornado had hit through, a cyclone, a hurricane, whatever it was, trees down everywhere, highlight. And he said that morning, I turned the radio on to try to get a report. There was an old black preacher in town said, I want to preach on some voices God never heard before. I will tell you, if God brings us to the right place in our life, and it doesn't have to be a tragedy, but you know, when God gets a hold of your heart and you're a child of God, He's your Father, you're His son or daughter, when you're talking to Him and praying to Him, whether it be at evening, whether it be morning, whether it be noon, He recognizes your voice. Now, a stranger, He doesn't recognize. Say you're here tonight, and pretty much everybody I know is pretty much saved, knows the Lord, and this and that. But let's just say, for instance, you're not saved. You know, when you're praying to God and talking to God, He won't hear you. He'll not hear you until you believe His Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And when you trust Him as your Lord and your Savior, from then on, when you come to talk to Him, He knows your voice. My sheep hear My voice, God said, and I know them, and they follow Me. He knows our very being. He knows our voice. There's another thing I noticed back in your text over here about this man, Peter and John. There they are going there about the ninth hour. And let me say to you, they see this man that's been there asking alms, and they're about to give him something that money cannot buy. I don't know about you, but my, what a blessing that it is. You know what, let me tell you how that we are. Every now and again, you know, we'll do something for one of our kids, and then in a few days, they've got that tore up. You know why? Easy come, easy go. But not so with the Lord. God's going to do something to put His stamp of His image upon you and the power of God upon you and within you that'll last forever. I think about whenever I'm looking in this Bible lesson, you'll find that God sent these preachers along that way. And let me tell you right now, while he was busy asking for help, while he was busy seeing that he had a real need, while he was busy longing for a real change in his life. You ever had that? He wanted some help. I mean some help that came from out of this world. You ever want that? But when you got saved, you had to get it. And let me tell you right now is that I was going to church, but I wasn't part of the church. I was going and attending, but God had not yet saved me and added me to the church. You know, I've been in the house of God ever since the day I got born again. I used to visit it from the outside in, but now I come and worship from the inside out. That's a very vital part and a very grateful thing to be a part. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Well, here's this man, is that when Peter and John says, now I want you to look upon us, fasten your eyes here upon us. I want to get your attention if I possibly can. You know, every now and again, something tragedy happens in life. And I can tell you right now is, whether it be the portal of death, whether it be a sickness, whether it be something else, let me tell you right now, God gets our attention every now and again, whether we want to or not. But let me tell you, we ought to want to be attentive unto the Lord. I realize, though, that before I got saved, I'd come to church. I've told you how to be able to get through many services to where it didn't seem like it was so long and looking at a songbook. But wouldn't that be sad if you was busy fiddling with a songbook, flipping through pages, and you died and went to hell doing that? How'd you get to hell right here when you ended up down there? I don't know if they'll ask you or not, but you can tell them, oh, I had to know a lot of preaching to get down here where I'm at. See? I got to say to you that I'm so glad that God got my attention. And not only that, but He made me become attentive. And I'll tell you right now, in verse number 5, this guy here was expecting to get something, and he expecting to receive something of them. And let me tell you, they didn't have anything physically, monetarily. Obviously, that had to be depression. I mean, if you're broke and you're poorer than Job's turkey, if Job had a turkey, I don't even know where that came from. But if you're that poor and you're needing some help, and somebody like Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none. Oh, yeah, well, me and you in about the same shape when it comes to that. I got to say to you that, if you will, is that I've helped a few people in law. I'm not real good at that. I don't like giving out money. Well, number one, never had a whole lot to give out. And now that I've got, you know, a little bit that I probably could, is that every time I end up getting bit with it. Somebody reminded me so kindly about that man up there in Colorado. I want to say when we went up there to ride that train. And he is piled up outside there with his dog, asked me could he get, have a couple of dollars to buy him some kind of a biscuit or something there at McDonald's. And so out of the goodness of my heart, I gave him 5. And I was going to go in there, and I said, oh, here, just getting lined right here. But the next day, he is laying out there, and that pothead was out of his mind on something. It was far out, dude. And he had a couple of dogs there, and they acted like they was a little crazy too. And he might have been giving them something. What I do know is that you'll find people up and down the road of life begging everywhere. Not many times do you find that so, I don't know, crucial. But we find them down at the house of God. We've had them lie about their condition, lie about their status, lie about their dead wife when they didn't even have one, lie about their dead kids when they didn't even have a wife, didn't have any. We've had all kinds of stuff. Most of the time when you're asking one of them, you know, I said, where are you coming from? And guy got mad at me and said, well, the Lord told me to stop. I said, really? I wonder why, if you've come in all the way up from the other side of Alabama somewhere, why didn't the Lord tell you and talk to you and tell you not to take off with no money in your pocket and a wife sick, like you're using as an excuse to be able to try to get some help with? Reckon why the Lord didn't tell you that. Of course, now, you know, I'm the devil. But I'm the devil. You're wanting to give you some money. Naturally, I didn't get, and we've had folks, you know, that, hey, I got a couple of men there, we don't give out money, but they'll take you up here and buy you a tank of gas. Well, I need more than that. I got plenty of gas. Yeah. Well, that's the reason why you ought not to carry matches. Take you a second for that to sink in. In this lesson you're looking at, you're going to find that here's a man that knew somehow or another, I need some help, and these two preachers that are coming in, I'm going to do what I can to help. Now, notice that Simon Peter, when he looks down, and they lifted him up, and he stood. And not only that, but he goes into the house of God in verse number 8 with them. And he's leaping and praising the name of the Lord, walking, leaping, praising God. You know, there's an evidence of being born again, isn't there? I always worry about people, you know, whenever you talk to them and say, hey, where are you going to church at? Well, when I go. Oh, I see, when you go. There ought to be a song about that. That sounds like a good song title, When I Go. Why don't you go? What's the matter that you're not going? I mean, if God saved you and put you in the house of God, what's the matter with you? See? Well, I said all that to be able to say this. These people here didn't have to ask him. In verse number 9, the Bible said, and the people saw him walking and praising God. Yeah. Make no mistake about it, it's a notable change. It's so notable that in verse number 10, they were amazed. They wondered with amazement what they were seeing. They knew this was him. He was about 40 years old, been there a long time. And here's a man that's walking, leaping, praising the blessed name of the Lord. Now, in closing, I want to say to you that the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse number 15, we'll take up looking there in the verse number 15, and look at the passage as we will, please. Look in verse number 14. Listen to the message. If you think it's not pretty salted and pointed, He goes to talking to these people that are wondering and marveling. He asks them, why are you marveling? Why are you thinking that by our own power or our holiness we've done this? And then in verse number 13, he begins to brag on the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and about the glorification of his son Jesus Christ. In verse 14, here we go. And ye have denied the holy and the just and desired a murderer granted unto you. You know what, Simon Peter, he's saying as much as an essence, no wonder you can't get it. That the Holy One of Israel, you denied him and desired a murderer to be released unto you. And notice in verse 50, and kill the Prince of Life, whom that God hath raised from the dead, whereof that we are witnesses, and his name, and through faith in his name, hath he made this man strong, whom ye see and know, and yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. I want to tell you something. Make no mistake about it. Here was a crowd that was religious. Here was a crowd that was lost. Here was a crowd that desired a murderer to be released and have the Lord Jesus Christ put to death. We know that no man took his life from him, but he laid it down of himself and was able to raise it back up again. I want to say all that to say this as we get ready to close here this evening. When we started out, are you in or out? Are you on the outside of the church, or has the Lord saved you and added you to the church? Somebody, I was in a Parks house one time, and there was a guy, you know, that all them crazy maddocks, they're kind of, they're eyeballing you. He said, how are you? I said, I'm doing all right. How are you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. Oh, really? Where are you going to church? Oh, he said, man, I go to church everywhere. I said, really? Who's your pastor? Well, you know, where do you send your tithe to mission offering? See what I'm talking about? Now, you know, it's not something we just decided this would be a good deal. Look, we can get tithes and offerings and this and that. I mean, this has been ordained of God from the word of the Lord. We're not meeting on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, because we thought it'd be a good idea since the Jews had Saturday. The Jews never recognized the resurrected power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're meeting on Sunday because it's been ordained of God. See? Now, the average Baptist is not going to know that. And those that do will be grateful. Those that don't, they don't want you to tell them even anymore. They like to be everywhere and yet nowhere. A lot of people like marriage like that. I was listening to somebody, and the biggest thing she had with her husband was that, yeah, I'll tell you what the problem is in our marriage. I stopped dating, and you just kept on dating other women. Now, I hope ain't none of you doing that. It's awful quiet right here except Brother Rocky and all that right there. So, but yeah, there's a lot of that goes on, even among the Baptist church. See? I want to say in closing that, if you will, that if you're not in, this would be a good time to get in while God comes knocking at your heart's door. Now, you know, if you keep messing around too long, it won't be long, you'll be a liar. You'll lie about where you're going. You'll lie about what you're doing. You'll lie about, you understand me? You ought to be honest with everybody around you, especially, you know, if you're ever going to get married. You got to learn to be honest. You got to learn to be up front. You got to learn, you understand? I don't mind checking up on you myself every now and again, but I'm not having to try to marry you. Some of you young men, you know, go off somewhere, fool around with some other men, get involved in something you ought not to be. What are you going to do? Come back, lie like a dog, and act like everything's all right already? Some of you young ladies, huh? I know some young ladies back whenever I didn't have a nickname like Hound Dog or nothing, so I mean, I was pretty calm and easy going. But I knew a lot of young men, and their girlfriends was off running around with somebody else, hugging and a kissing on some of their distant kinfolk or somebody they'd met in school, and then coming back and lying like a dog about it. And many of them claim to be on the inside instead of the outside. I won't say in closing because I know this is not getting fun now. I don't know about you, but I'm glad God saved me from the guttermost to the uttermost and made me one of His own. Made me one of His own. You know, I've been doing this now since 1974. How many years is that? 48, 49 going on? 49. I've had churches. Every now and again, if you'll ever notice, I rub a little somebody the wrong direction. And here's what they'll do. They'll go down back where you came from. I'll tell you one thing, you won't like that preacher when you find out what I find out. I said, well, bring it on up here and let's bring it right out in front of the church. I mean, you know. You better not have anything to hide if you're going to stand and make people mad in the pulpit. They're going to dig it up for you. But there's nothing to dig up. Nothing to dig up. I did have one preacher, they was talking about me at a time at a conference, and a preacher who's not even my good friend. But I thought he was, and he said, no, hold it. He said, you're lying. I know Dennis Anderson, he's got enough faults of his own that you ain't got to make something up, but you're lying. I thought, man, I ought to praise God for him. He's my favorite cheerleader. If you're in the house of God, you're not going to be without some kind of a battle, sometimes in the mind, sometimes that you're facing and don't even know. But I'll tell you, God's grace has been, is tonight, will be tomorrow, sufficient for thee. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. I pray you'd move upon us within us. We thank you for those that you've saved, those you've added. Lord, it's good. It's good to be in the family of God and with the family of God, worshiping, waiting for the day of the trumpet of God to sound when we'll be joined back together in that reunion day. Lord, bless, I pray, every home represented here tonight, those that could not be, in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake hands with somebody.